1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring you your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you, much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the words that we're about to look into and study a little bit. And just thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, Lord, to hear your word spoken, and just to be able to maybe learn something new about it. In Jesus' name, amen. So my title tonight is really relating back to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Stand fast is in the Bible. The word, the phrase, stand fast, is in the Bible 9 times. And we're going to be looking at the 6 times that it's in the New Testament. And that's the one, the first one. And another one is Galatians 5:1. I'm just going to read through these, but we're going to be studying them further as we go on here. Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Philippians 1:27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Philippians 4:1. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." 1 Thessalonians 3:8, "For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord." And 2 Thessalonians 2:15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." So stand fast. The first one is stand fast in the faith, it says in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Stand fast in the faith. And that's you know, that is not just any doctrine. It's not just saying, you know, stand fast in just anything. It does not say stand fast in faith. It says stand fast in the faith. Okay? And each and every little word in this Bible is important. Stand fast in the faith. You must know which faith. You got to know that. I hear too many times, especially, Disney movies and different movies and, even people on the street, well, if you just believe, even some of the songs that, that are in some of the hymn books, believe, or, whatever. But believe in what? You must know. You got to know what you're believing in. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to have the right faith. You got to have the truth. And in Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you're not getting your faith from the Bible, you very might be, getting the wrong faith, okay? So we need to start with, stand fast in the faith, it says. And in Jude 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We need to contend for that faith, the faith that brings that the Lord Jesus Christ brings. And it must be delivered in the right spirit. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." But the next verse goes on, let all your things be done with charity. So it is stand fast in the faith, but you got to read on to the second verse there, the next verse, and let all your things be done with charity. Too many times, I've seen people trying to shove their religion down people's throat. The Muslims do that, it's at a gunpoint or whatever, but even Christians are come on, you got to get it, you got to do this, you got to say that, you got to read this, you got to pray this. But that's shoving it down their throat, and you don't know if they're really getting it if you do that. And it says, let all your things be done with charity. No tricking somebody into your faith, or just, because I believe it, you need to believe it. We shouldn't be doing that. And I believe that's happening a lot right now. But this is also a great verse, and probably one of the verses that are hardly ever really understood because of that word quit. Quit. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. And this is a great whole sermon just for men, but, you women can listen to this too, because then when you meet some guy, you can tell him that, right? Hey, be strong in the faith. Quit ye like men. But this word quit, it's in the Bible 6 times in 5 different verses. So one verse that has it in there twice, but only 1 time in the New Testament, and that's right here. So that 1 time, it does not mean quit being a man. Quit you like men. So what does that exactly mean, all right? It doesn't mean that it's okay to quit. Okay, time to quit. We're going to quit. No, it's not that either. Quit. And we have quit claim deeds. A lot of people mispronounce that or misuse that word as a quick claim deed. But it's a quit claim deed when somebody passes on property to another. You guys maybe know about that. But quit in the 1828 Webster Dictionary, of course, has numerous different things. And I don't want to get into the practice of that, but I like to look up these old words. And I don't want to do that I'm going to use the one that I think is best, because that's what all these Greekifiers and Hebrewifiers do. They just go through that Greek leprechaun until they find a word that makes that makes it sense to them. But quit in that the 1828 is to carry through, to do or perform something to the end, so that nothing remains. Or another thing is to discharge or perform completely. To discharge or perform completely. So watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Finish. Okay? Where is that again? To discharge. Discharge or perform. Perform your duties completely. Quit you like men. Perform your duties like a man. Be a man. That's basically what it's saying. Man up to it. Sometimes people just don't want to man up to something. But this is telling you to act like a man and complete what you're supposed to be doing and just perform your duties completely. Paul gives an evaluation of anyone who tries to, you know, just share the message of God's love for the world in an arrogant or a prideful way, and or trying to, showmanship manner way, I can one up you on this. In 1 Corinthians 13:1, when he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." You know, just a little noise in the background. If you're not speaking the truth, if you're not doing it like a man, if you're not saying it with charity, if you have not charity, it's just like a little wind chime in the back. It means nothing. And Dwight L. Moody once said, "No one should dare preach or teach about hell or the judgment of God unless he does so with a broken heart." You know, and I think, again, a lot of times people are trying to get people saved. You know, you're going out maybe witnessing to people, and, you know, you're like, you know, thinking, well, you know, you got to get saved. You know, it's important. You got to do it. But they're not doing it with that broken and contrite spirit, the broken heart. You know, we ought to be just grieving. We ought to be really, you know, crying, and for crying out loud, we ought to be crying about it. That people aren't getting saved. People are getting the wrong messages. And many people are getting the message, you know, the 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and yet they're not really getting saved, and yet they go on through the rest of their life thinking they are saved. And that is actually a more difficult thing for us trying to get the word to them. But let all your things be done with charity. Even telling someone that they're doing something wrong. You know, there's people in our church, there's me, there's everybody. You know, we're all doing something wrong somewhere. It's okay to go to that person and tell them with charity. Do all things with charity, it says. Do all your things. So when somebody's doing something wrong, you still need to tell them. If somebody's going to hell, you don't got to, you know, jump down their throat and say, "Hey, you're going to hell if you don't believe this way." You know, it doesn't work that way. It's not a good way. And again, it's that even telling somebody that they're possibly going to hell if they don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they're going to hell if they don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But even telling them that should be done with charity and not spitefully or trying to do it in a hurtful way. And it just should be in a proper method. The next thing is stand fast in the liberty of Christ. In Galatians 5:1, we read, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You know, we have freedom through Jesus Christ. Christ has given us the liberty, not our government, not ourselves. We didn't, you know, oh yeah, 4th of July, we fought for our freedom and we won and we, whatever, yeah. But you know what? We don't have any liberty without Jesus Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You know, the verse goes on to warn us against getting entangled, and it says again, because we're entangled when you're in sin and you're unsaved, especially, you know, you're entangled in that sin so much, and yet it seems like some people get saved, and yet they go back to that entanglement, and it says to stay away from that, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it's warning us. It's giving us this warning about that. And some people get saved and then they just go right back and get under the same program that they're you know, maybe it seemed like a real good thing that they were doing or whatever they want to do. And I actually heard a sermon on the radio this week sometime, and it was talking about don't get entangled even in maybe good things. You know, the fight against abortion, the gay things, this thing, that thing, you know, you can kind of, you name it, you know, the whoever, whatever, government freedom fighters, the militia, on and on and on, the list goes on and on and on. But don't get so entangled in that you don't have time for your Bible, that you don't have time to witness to people, that you don't have any other time. And it was a good message, but so that was just, you know, kind of... you know, related to what I was talking about here. And we don't want to get entangled or enslaved to even something that may seem like a good thing. You have to know what the proper cause is that you're, you know, doing it, instead of just telling people. We need to tell people to stand fast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You know, there's many, many sermons on this subject of the liberty through Jesus Christ, and many more great details. But you know, maybe that's another sermon, another time. But Christ hath made us free, so don't sell yourself back to the yoke of bondage by trying to follow something that's unbiblical. And that's what that verse is going into and talking about. Another one is stand fast in one spirit. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, it's like when the Super Bowl is being played. Both teams will focus on one single objective, and that is, of course, to win. You know, they want to win. They want that victory. They want that ring or whatever, or, you know, the money that comes with it, whatever it is. But they're focused on that. They're really, really focused on it. And if either team strays from that objective, they'll go down and be defeated. And the parallel between, you know, any team that's playing in any church is obvious. It's if you lose your focus, if those players lose their focus, keep your eye on the ball, all right? If they lose their focus and aren't following that, they're going to lose the game. They're going to lose it. And if you lose your focus and your opportunity, you might miss out on some great things. In football, they always say that about keeping your eye on the ball, but in our Christian life, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. We just need to keep our eyes upon Jesus and never lose that focus. And, you know, and again, that the next part about stand fast in one spirit. I can't overemphasize how important it is to do that. Stand fast in one spirit. You know, and it seems like especially at this time of history, you know, the world has gone crazy, and you know, there's so many things that, you know, there's people trying to tear the churches apart. There's people that just don't like anybody meeting that's talking and preaching about Jesus Christ. They want this church to fail. They want any good church to fail. They want us as individuals to fail. And we need to stand fast and remember all the things that we do think alike about. All right. Too many times, well, John, oh boy, well, he said this, or, you know, we need to, you know, maybe glance over that in charity, talk about it, discuss it. That's not wrong. But not to dwell on those things, not to dwell on that type of thing. We need to remember the things that we are thinking alike about. It, with one mind, not following blindly, it doesn't say. It says striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's where we need to be in this church. And that takes us, with that, to the next step is stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And in 1 Thessalonians 3:8, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. This command is to stand fast. And we have several options that are available to us in our Christian life today. And one of them is we may just lie down instead. You know, maybe some people say, you know what, I just don't want to put up with the stink. I'm just going to lie down and forget it all. And yet in Proverbs 6:10 it says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. In Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, that just reminded me when we would go to those... Bill Gothard, whatever that was called, those seminars and stuff. If you ever spent the night, they would wake you up at like, you know, 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not used to that. I would like to sleep in, you know. But they would come over with a very loud speaker. And that would be one of the verses. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. You know, like, hey, get up, you bum. So anyway, just reminded me of that. But we don't want to be that bum just laying in the bed sleeping, although it's nice to do sometimes. We need to remember what we do need to concentrate on. We also might just sit down The four lepers did that. In 2 Kings 7, verse 3, it says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.' And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there." So some of us just kind of sit there until we die. You know, we go up to the nursing home, and it seems like some of them are just sitting there until they die. But, you know, even at the nursing home, I mean, the healthcare center, yes, we don't want to call it nursing home. But even at the healthcare center there, you know what? There's something they could be doing. They might be able to tell somebody. We, you know, Mike and I and Joe, we go up there and we tell them, hey, you know, there's still something you can do. And this is the case here too now. These guys were, they're lepers and they're just, what are we going to do? Oh, well, I'm just going to sit here until I die, you know. Yeah, but you know what? Then they said, hey, wait a minute. Let's not just sit there till we die. Let's go there. Maybe we'll die there, but we're going to die here, die there. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter. So what does it matter? You know, some of us just sit here until we're going to die. And if you happen to be put to death for the Lord, we shall but die. You know, if you're doing something for the Lord, you know, I sure hope that I'm doing something for the Lord when I do die. You know, the other day we were sitting out under the meteor shower. The three girls and I were in the back of a pickup truck. The kids, I don't know which kids were even there, but then we just got laughing about what if a meteor hit us? We thought, we probably go down in history, you know. Okay, a meteor hit us, you know. But, you know, again, wouldn't you hope that you're doing something for the Lord when you die? You know, that's, so don't just sit there. You know, it's a good saying, we shall but die. You're going to die, you know, you might die of a heart attack right here. You might get, you know, might die on a road home, whatever. We all know it. We're all, you know, you're saved, you're going to heaven. So we shall but die. So that's okay. So some lie down, some sit down, and maybe we might flee. All right, as the disciples did. And, you know, some of them will say, well, no. If I saw what they saw, you know, I wouldn't have fled. I wouldn't have fled. I would have stayed there. I would have been with him. I would have been his, you know, I would have had his back. Yeah, We would have fled. You would have fled. We all would have fled. Matthew 26:55, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, "Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." And, you know, and again, I just remind you, it wasn't just, you know, one disciple that fled and denied him three times. They all fled. They all denied him. And you know, and that would happen to us. But we are told to stand. And stand fast. We're told that we should stand fast. And we should stand fast in the Lord. You know, fast, again, you know, it's kind of, it doesn't make sense. Fast? Well, but yes, I'm not very fast, but I'm standing. I'm standing fast. I'm fastened. I'm fastened to the ground. I'm ready to, you know, fill in that gap. I'm ready to do whatever it takes. I'm ready. You're standing fast for the Lord, in the Lord, it says. So there is much that we can learn from the account of Gideon. He had an army of 300, and about their victory over the, you know, way superior army that he met against in Judges 7:12, it says, "And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude." You know, I live in a very sandy area. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of camels for the multitude of the sand. You know, it was like you probably looked out there and you wouldn't be able to number them. There was so many of them. And this verse tells us how vast that Midianite army appeared in the eyes of man. And the secret to the success of Gideon's army was God using a handful of brave men who obeyed Gideon's command. And it says in Judges 7:21, "And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. All they had to do was stand. They just had to stand there. And Jesus Christ took care of it. God took care of the rest, all right? And an interesting incident happened during the victorious march of Alexander the Great to conquer the known world for the Grecian Empire. A young soldier became frightened in the heat of the battle and dropped his sword and his shield and, you know, took off AWOL, got out of there, you know, hightailed it. He didn't want to get killed, so he headed out. They sent a dispatch after him, and they apprehended the soldier, and they brought him back to face execution. The soldier was caught and sent to Alexander for trial. And Alexander the Great looked on the guy. He was really scared, and he says, "What is your name, soldier?" And the soldier replied, "Alexander, sir." And Alexander the Great replied, "Young man, change your ways or change your name." And he set him free and let him go, and he told him, "You know, soldier, return to your unit and show the courage that your name implies." Well, the same kind of applies to us here, you know. Oh, who's a Christian? Okay. What courage is implied by the name Christian? You know, do we show the courage that our name of Christian implies? Church history tells us that every apostle except John died as martyrs for the cause of Christ, and thousands died at the hands of one ruler and another. And, you know, rather than deny the faith, we hear all about the, you know, even in the plays and stuff, we've seen these people that are martyred for their belief in Jesus Christ. But have we let that faith of ours grow? Have we been a good example of being a Christian? Do we stand fast in the faith? Do we stand fast in the liberty? Do we stand fast in Jesus Christ? You know, are you going to get to heaven and Christ is going to say to you, "Hey man, you know, change your ways or quit calling yourself a Christian"? Is Christ going to look at you like that? You know, will you be embarrassed to say that you're a Christian? You know, and again, I think we're going to get to heaven, and I'm going to say, you know, maybe somebody's going to look at me and say, "What? You're a Christian? You're saved?" And I'm going to look at some people and say the same thing, I bet. You know, but do we want to be like that? We ought not to be wanting to be like that. And then the last one is in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. It says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." You know, and most everybody's heard me up here before. You know me. You know, I've stood here and I've taught that we have all kinds of bad traditions. You know, the Christmas tradition, the Easter stuff, Labor Day. Trying to even explain that one. I've been there collecting candy, you know, with people throwing candy. I don't even know if they can do that anymore. I haven't been there in a long time. But you know what? That's weird. It's weird stuff, and we shouldn't be partaking in that stuff. And even Jesus Christ said in Mark 7:13, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." But yet this verse that we're reading here implies that there are good traditions. You know, and that's a blessing. That's a good thing. You know, it's good to pass on tradition to your kids, your family, and to have traditions yourself. But yet we need to remember to at least finish this verse again. Where is the end of it? "And hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." You know, it's traditions, the traditions that are in the Bible here. We need to know which traditions are good. You actually need to study it out, maybe, and, you know, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And it goes back to the many times we've been taught here at this church. I remember Dave saying it over and over. If Paul is teaching it, it most likely and probably applies to us. You know, if you know it's in Hebrews, well, hey, maybe better be careful. If it's over here, you better be careful. If it's an Old Testament, better be careful. Some of it applies, some doesn't. But that's the type of traditions it's okay to follow. You know, and again, it's like that football game. And you know, I don't play football. I don't really. I watch football one time a year at the at the supper bowl, you know, because I like all the food, and you know, but that's about it. But I can see if one of the players is on the line, you know, and he's standing fast, and yet he gets pushed out of the way and gets knocked down. What does that do to the rest of the team? What does that do? And that's kind of like our Christian faith. It's kind of like our group here. If one of us isn't standing fast, it can affect everybody else. It can affect everybody in the church. You know, you might end up getting tackled yourself, or you know even just with me not standing fast for Jesus Christ, might get our pastor tackled or whatever. You know, it affects us all when we're not all standing fast, because this tells us that we need to stand fast. So what one Christian does can and often does affect each one of us here, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you know, whatever you're doing. And when one does not stand fast, it makes more work for those attempting to stand fast. You know, the whole chapter there that we were just reading in 1 Corinthians, you know, it's really kind of, I know we're just really talking about the first verse there, but watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And we need to do that. But this is going on, it's talking about giving. The first part is talking about collection for the saints. You know, that's part of that, standing fast. It's standing fast with that, with your funds, if you can give, give. And then it goes on and talks about the liberality. I will send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. You know, it's talking about going with somebody, going out, doing something for Jesus Christ. Just going out, you know, with this person, with that person, sending this person, helping this person, taking him into your home, praying for people. You know, but then all of a sudden he just says, watch ye, watch, watch, watch ye, stand fast, stand there, be ready, because there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a problem. There's going to be something hitting you. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. And then let all things be done. Let all your things be done with charity. So, you know, this again is just a quick overview of it. We're early, but I'm going to just recap here. It's stand fast in the faith. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast in one spirit. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. You know, it's just a little thing, little something God gave me this week. I was actually just thought in my Bible that I had the three stand fast there, and I looked them up, and it's like, we need to stand fast. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time we can have, and I just thank you, Lord, for teaching us about how and why and what we need to do to stand fast. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do that. Help us now to just go out this week and continue to try to do something for you and tell others about you, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.